98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And it is now 8:05 in the morning. I'm Mark Bailey. Mid-Columbia Mornings continuing. The Mid-Columbia Today, 98.3 FM, 1340 AM, KIHR. On this Friday, the 6th of March, we're 8 days from the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Gil Mortgage that you just heard one of our disembodied voices talk about. And you can get your list of items at GorgeRadio.com. You can begin to plan right now what you want to save money on. Today on the show, we're talking animals. Dr. Mike Foss from Alpine Veterinary of Hood River. And by the way, there are deals in the auction from Alpine Veterinary there that will be available to help you out. Some dental cleanings, an equine spring vaccination, deworm, and floating of teeth. Six opportunities to get a 3-month box of a canine NexGard chewable flea and tick preventative. Good stuff. And if you've got a large dog that needs to get fixed, there is, that's available for the auction. That's a $724 item. You can get it for less. So listen for the auction, Saturday, March 14th, 8 in the morning. Next Saturday, not this Saturday. Tomorrow I plan to be out on the golf course. I'm not working this Saturday. Next Saturday, I got to make sure it gets on the air. Anyway, as I ramble at this point, it's been one of those weeks. So I'm just kind of rambling. Here's what this day has meant and what it means at least to some people. We got quite a list of stuff here today. 1820, President James Monroe signed the Missouri Compromise, which allowed Missouri to join the Union as a slave state and Maine to join as a free state while banning slavery in the northern portion of the Louisiana Territory. 1836, the Alamo in San Antonio fell as Mexican forces led by General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna stormed the fortress after a 13-day siege. The battle claimed the lives of all the Texan defenders, including William Travis, James Bowie, and Davy Crockett. 1857, the U.S. Supreme Court in the Dred Scott versus Sanford decision ruled 7-2 that Scott, an enslaved person, was not an American citizen and therefore could not sue for his freedom in federal court. It also ruled slavery could not be banned from any federal territory. The decision deepened the national divide over slavery in the years leading up to the Civil War. 1869, chemist Dmitri Mendeleev introduced his concept of a periodic table of elements at a meeting of the Russian Chemical Society in St. Petersburg. 1912, Oreos were first introduced by the National Biscuit Company, later known as Nabisco. And now, of course, there are all sorts of different Oreos available. 1951, the trial of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg on federal espionage charges began in New York, both subsequently found guilty, sentenced to death, and then executed in 1953. 1964, heavyweight boxing champ Cassius Clay took a new name given to him by a Nation of Islam leader Elijah Muhammad, Muhammad Ali. 1970, a bomb being built inside a townhouse in New York's Greenwich Village by members of the Weather Underground militant leftist group accidentally exploded, destroying the house and killing three group members. 1981, Walter Cronkite signed off for the last time after nearly 2 decades as the anchor of the CBS Evening News. 1990, Ed Yielding and Joseph Vida flew a Lockheed SR-71 Blackbird spy plane east across the U.S. from coast to coast in a record 67 minutes and 54 seconds. 2009, NASA's Kepler Space Telescope was rocketed into space from Cape Canaveral to hunt for Earth-sized planets orbiting distant stars. The spacecraft discovered 2,681 exoplanets outside the solar system before it ran low on fuel and was retired in 2018 after 9.5 years of scouring space for alien worlds. Days for today, it is Dress in Blue Day today. It's dedicated to the fight to end colorectal cancer. It's Employee Appreciation Day today, something that you always should do as an employer. It's Middle Name Pride Day today. Not sure why. National Day of Unplugging, which isn't a bad idea, by the way. We all should probably unplug every once in a while. It's National Dentist Day today. It's also National Dress Day today. It's National Speech and Debate Education Day today. Our food today, it is National Oreo Cookie Day, as you would expect with the day that Oreos came out. back in 1912. It's been over 100 years for those. It's National Frozen Food Day today. And it's National White Chocolate Cheesecake Day today. So there you go. That's all of it. I guess the Oreo Day is the important takeaway from this. All the 10,000 kinds of Oreos that are out there. Now, I think there should only be 2 to 3 Oreos. Plain Oreos. Double stuff Oreos. And by the way, those stuffings have dropped down. Double stuff Oreos are now basically what Oreos used to be when I was a kid. And you get a regular Oreo, there isn't much stuffing in there at all, is there? And then the third one is, I will admit, I'm all for chocolate fudge-covered Oreos. Those are good. Especially, not necessarily the ones from the company. I mean, all those are fine. But when you get them like from a chocolatier who does them, they're really good. To the point where the amount of the cream filling really doesn't matter. But anyway, after that, all these other Oreos that have come out, no, they're not Oreos. If you've deviated from the basic chocolate wafer and the cream filling, you're not Oreos anymore. 8:11 in the morning. When we come back, Dr. Mike Foster, Alpine Veterinary, is supposed to be here. But of course, he likes to make an entrance, so he may come in just as we take the break. So we will come back. We'll do something with you after this.
Looking to level up your fitness game? The Power Station in Hood River is your one-stop spot for strength, sweat, and now indoor pickleball. Yup, is it too hot, too cold, too windy, or crowded? The Power Station has a state-of-the-art indoor pickleball court, perfect for all-weather play, lessons, training, and play with your group. Whether you're crushing weights or dinking at the net, the Power Station keeps you moving strong. Learn more and book your court time now at powerstationhr.com, where Hood River trains and plays.
One smile is great, but one smile in a community of smiles is so much better. A smile has a secret power that most people don't know about. A smile multiplies. It spreads from one person to the next, stretching across entire groups of people. Smile Train knows this and is proud to be creating a wave of smiles across the cleft lip and palate community. In over 70 countries. Patients, doctors, advocates, fundraisers. Collectively, our smiles are a celebration of the transformed lives of over 1.5 million children. Learn how Smile Train is helping the cleft lip and palate community at smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Mark your calendar. The Bicoastal Media Radio Auction is Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage. Take advantage of savings on over $150,000 worth of local goods and services. Dining certificates, health and beauty, auto service, travel and entertainment, outdoor recreation, home improvement, and more. Increase your chances to win items by securing a bidder number now. Call 541-296-2211. Our on-air live radio auction, Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bicoastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
It is now 8:13 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today, and yes, Dr. Mike Foss came in during the commercial break, made his entrance, Alpine Veterinary Hood River. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mark.
I knew this is how you were going to come in. I wasn't worried about it that much.
I have the timing down fairly good.
You do, and this time I may even thrown it off a little. I gave you more time because I was doing my usual, every time Oreos get brought up, about how most of the brand of, most of what they market as Oreos today aren't Oreos.
Well, I was thinking, where can I stop and grab some Oreos real quick? But that would have made me late.
That would have made you late. That's right. So you just told me as you came in, you were at a convention here recently.
Yeah, so all health professionals, you know, veterinarians, doctors, dentists, other CPAs, attorneys, they're all required to take a certain amount of continuing education.
Sure.
So we can keep up on what's going on in the world. So several of us went down to the biggest convention on the West Coast. It just happens to be in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So it's a terrible place to have to visit for a couple days. That's it, a couple days. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they have like 1,000 different lectures you could go to.
Yeah.
So it's just a great selection. And so I kind of tried to compile what were some of the major topics that I heard down there and that I went to and learned some things from. And it was really interesting. So one of them, Oregonians and Washingtonians will be happy with this, CBD, you know, marijuana in your pets. Actually, I've never seen more presentations and research on this before. So to me, a lot of really useful information because lots of people use it. And as veterinarians, we're a little bit on a fence. You know, it's not real clear from federal guidelines if we can tell you to use it or if we certainly can't prescribe it yet.
Well, okay, now when I think about a dog and marijuana,
mm-hmm.
my first thought is just no.
Well,
it doesn't seem like a good idea.
We get a lot of those that no would have been the correct answer.
I'm sure you do.
So marijuana toxicity is really pretty common in our in our doggy patients. One, you got to remember, they have a nose.
Right.
And that nose we put to work to find drugs.
Yes.
And, you know, even a just hobby nose at home will still find the drugs.
Right.
So it seems certain dogs do like marijuana. I don't know why. But they find it, they sniff it out, and they eat it. And I think dogs are much more sensitive to the THC component of marijuana as opposed to the CBD. Okay, so let's back up for those that aren't real familiar with this. So THC is the happy part, the hallucinogenic, that type of thing. Very simple oversimplification. But anyway, THC is the part that makes it marijuana. CBD is the part that we can use medicinally. And so THC component in a dog, they're extremely sensitive to it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So weekly we get phone calls, if not visits, for some dog that got into marijuana. And many times the owners don't know it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do. Oh, yeah, I wondered where my supply went. Well, it went in the dog.
Yeah.
You know, and other times they just have no clue. And so the good news is most of the doggies survive this. There are some issues they have if it's a high level of intoxication. So always check with your veterinarian about what's going on. But the CBD portion does seem to have some benefits. Now, if we look historically, it was first started, CBD was being used in, or approved in people for control of seizures. And this is a big deal because I hadn't ever understood this before, but I guess the young child that gets seizures, it's a pretty severe disorder. So most of the time with our pets, it's like one or two seizures, maybe over a couple weeks. Not a big deal. In some of these people, it's multiple seizures every day. And so this is where the CBD portion first came out to say, hey, we can help with this situation. And so it's kind of grown from there. The people that study nerves, so neurologists, universities, that type of thing, they now can map out pretty extensively all the chemicals. And it's not just CBD. There are a number of chemicals, cannabinoids, I think is our right term, that influence your nervous system to perceive pain, to control certain anxiety things. There's a bunch of them in there. And so there was a lot of education about, hey, here's what these chemicals do. Here's active forms. Here's inactive forms. It turns out CBD all by itself isn't a very active form in most of our animals. It has to be changed, so it has to be heated. So that's why we all smoked the joint, because you didn't get any good off it, just chewing it, okay? You had to heat it up, that changed the chemical, and then that is the component that is most active in our pets. So a lot of discussions about these, a lot of discussions about, you know, how do we know it's helpful? Because placebo effect in treating pets is huge.
Sure.
In fact, there's a study that showed it's worse in your veterinarian than it is in you guys, because we want to make sure your pet's better.
Right.
So we're going to be really optimistic that this treatment that we came up with was helpful. And it, again, you may look at your dog and we're thinking the owners are always going to be looking for the best, but it's actually the veterinarian that's the most hopeful and optimistic. So placebo effect is a big deal. So you kind of have to sort out, is this really making the pet better? And how do you come up with measurements since they don't speak English and say, yeah, I feel great today, man?
No, they don't.
Or not, you know. So they're starting to get some of this research done, which, you know, we can't make good recommendations just off of hearsay. And, you know, I gave this to my dog and it just worked miracles. But if we go with research that says that kind of backs up some of these stories, then you can start intelligently trying some of these things.
You know, I was going to come back. You said, you know, the dog smells out and eats the marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I would think this would be like with a lot of things. If you're choosing to use this, it's like dealing having young children in the house.
Yeah.
You've got to lock this stuff away and put it up where the nose and the paws can't get there.
Exactly. And that is so many. Okay, so one of the things we see in terms of what the nose gets us into trouble with is, for example, carprofen. So non-steroidal anti-inflammatories in our dogs. Those smell really good. I mean, that's why we have chewables, so they'll eat them happily. But if the dog likes them, they know, oh, they're in the cupboard.
Yeah.
And some of the dogs are smart enough to know how to open the cupboard.
Yes.
Or most commonly, they're up on the counter.
Right.
Yeah, counters are fair game if mom and dad aren't home.
True.
And so the same principle applies. If you have these medications that you give to your pets, think of them just as like a two-year-old. Mm-hmm. And know that curiosity in the nose is going to get everyone in trouble. Mm-hmm. So put them away where they can't be gotten into.
The other thing I think of with marijuana in dogs, when people are using it, is not unlike, you know, tobacco. You know, you have the secondhand smoke with marijuana. Somebody is consumed smoking marijuana in their home. They have a dog in their home or a cat in their home.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever animal in their
home. Right, whatever.
And the dog then is inhaling that smoke secondhand. I would assume that's an issue in some way.
I don't have enough knowledge on that to give a good opinion.
All right. Okay.
You know, I think that's a valid concern. Mm-hmm. I guess our issues focus more on acute
problems.
Toxicity problems as opposed to more long term.
Well, and then now we get into the because CBD is being touted for its health benefits, you know, in humans. You were just kind of going over with animals here. Is this something we're going to start to see more and more of as a possibility for, especially in the pain management area?
Yeah, because it is being proven, okay, to go ahead and be able to show that, yes, it does offer some pain relief. Mm-hmm. Anecdotally, that's what we see because, you know, you'll come in and say, you know, the old dog's been pretty stiff, but I've been giving him CBD for the last week and he seems better.
Now, should I be giving CBD without a vet's oversight?
Not really.
Okay, you know, all right. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah. No, but, you know, people treat themselves and their pets.
Yes, they do.
You know, as they see. And then, plus, again, to back up for a little bit, legally, by law, I'm not supposed to prescribe CBD. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
So it's one of those, until the laws are more clear, we have to be real careful how we do that.
And I'm not sure the law is going to get more clear until we have more scientific evidence
that
it works.
And it is kind of a, you know, chicken or egg, which is going to come first.
And, well, also, though, I mean, there's divisions in the human medical side about whether CBD is...
Yeah.
Or whether it's, as you just talked about earlier, the placebo effect.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where I think I heard somebody describe it, you know, it makes you feel better. Okay, fine. But just bear in mind that it's, you know, it buyer beware
on
this.
So I guess the thing I got out of this was there's being research done. It does seem to have some good valid uses. And more needs to be learned, but I think it's something we can look at more seriously and without as much caution. Because honestly, so for veterinarians, we have what we call a DEA license, and that's controlled substances.
Right.
And let's just say the DEA is one of the least forgiving organizations to deal with. So thou shalt not sin against the DEA.
Okay.
And because we'd lose a lot of medications that we routinely use.
Sure.
And so veterinarians, for the most part, have steered away from making recommendations about CBD.
Which makes sense.
But I think that's going to change, and you're going to see more educated discussions go on about it as opposed to just strictly opinion.
Here's what I find, though, interesting about them. This is just my political eyeballs here.
Mm-hmm.
The DEA is going to come down hard as you as a vet for prescribing CBD to an animal. But I can go buy CBD for myself anywhere. You know, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's available. Again, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just going, that's a really, that's an inconsistent interpretation of the law by the DEA when you do that.
I won't argue.
I'm sure you won't.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just me, because it's an observation of, okay, you know, it's like, we can't prescribe this to a pet, but I can go buy it over the counter in certain forms.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to make sense to me at all. But then again, a lot of things, like, well, the federal government doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
so
that could be a whole couple more radio shows.
Yeah, oh, it's been the topic of a number of radio shows, including this one. 8:25 in the morning. Well, it's a good place to take a break here. We'll go to the. I'll come back with the news, and then we'll come back. Go a little more here. I think we're going to talk in the kind of the same vein, pain management, opportunities.
Yeah.
For older pets. So we'll do that after these messages.
So my friends over at Pure Talk have been sending me customer feedback from ConsumerAffairs.com, where thousands of people rate and review the top wireless providers. Here, for instance, is a nice note from James in Raleigh, North Carolina, who writes, quote, "After hearing Mike Rowe's ad, we made the switch to Pure Talk, and we couldn't be happier. We went from spending $1,200 a year with T-Mobile to $420 with Pure Talk. Thanks, Mike. Switch today!" Exclamation point. Pure Talk is saving James $820 a year. And because he literally wrote the words "switch today" in capital letters with an exclamation point, I'm going to go ahead and dedicate this commercial to him. So folks, take it from James in Raleigh, North Carolina. Pure Talk can give you unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $25 a month on the same 5G service the big guys are overcharging you for. Just dial #250, say Mike Rowe. You'll also save 50% off your first month. That's #250 to save an additional 50%. Thanks, James.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First, drown it with a bucket of water. Then stir it with a shovel.
Wow, you sound just like him.
Then he said,
if it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Say hello to the Goodbyes Coupon Book.
The Goodbyes Coupon Book is back.
On page 2, from Hats Downtown 76 in the Dalles, get $2 off fuel or store purchase over $20. And on page 26, get $2 off any large pizza, $3 off any extra large pizza at Benaventi's Pizza in Bingen.
Pick up a free Goodbyes Coupon Book at any of these business locations or online at GorgeRadio.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
In the morning, here's what's in the news. Oregon State Senators gutted this year's legislation to bolster the rollout of a 2022 voter-approved gun control law currently being litigated. Despite Democrats expending significant political capital to push a wide-ranging firearm safety bill through the House, the Oregon Capitol Chronicle reporting a unanimous vote, the Senate passed the watered-down legislation, sending it back to the House for reconsideration after its original vote. Despite the GOP's opposition to the bill in the House, several Republicans expressed support for the new bill's push to solely delay implementation of Measure 114 until 2028, rather than beefing up the firearm permit or background check process. After ignoring warnings from campaign finance reform advocates, Oregon lawmakers approved a variety of changes to a 2024 law that establishes limits on political contributions starting next year. If Governor Tina Kotek signs the bill, the advocates say they'll bring forward a ballot measure to pass a stronger version of Oregon's campaign finance law. The votes weren't there yet for Democrats' income tax bill in the Washington State House. The Washington State Standard reports Democratic members are withholding support for the proposed income tax on millionaires, saying they want to see if a new version of the controversial legislation will satisfy their concerns. Holdouts reportedly number around a dozen. They include lawmakers who have publicly opposed the bill and ones who cast themselves as undecided. And some two dozen states challenged President Donald Trump's new global tariffs on Thursday, following a lawsuit over import taxes he imposed after a stinging loss at the Supreme Court, the lawsuit led by attorneys general from Oregon, Arizona, California, and New York. Currently 43 degrees in Stevenson, 45 in the Dalles, 43 in Hood River. It is 8:30 in the morning.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hi, this is Zach from Del Carpine Automotive. We're so excited to operate in our new location, just a stone's throw away from our old shop. A family-run business since 2003, Del Carpine continues to provide exceptional auto repair service for both foreign and domestic vehicles, even Sprinter vans. From simple oil changes to complex engine restorations, our experienced team is here to keep you safely on the road. Visit us at our great new location or give us a call at 541-386-3133. Del Carpine Automotive, family-owned and locally trusted.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
A chance of rain this morning, then rain likely this afternoon. Highs low 50s and the west wind at 15 miles per hour. Rain likely again this evening. Low temperatures in the upper 40s.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
We're back with Dr. Mike Fosh, Alpine Veterinary, talking animals today on Mid-Columbia Today. And we are talking a bit about, we started with the CBD part of this thing, the marijuana stuff. But a lot of what you talked about this convention you were at was pain management.
In a lot
of ways.
Yeah.
And this is always difficult with our older animals because, of course, as you have talked about many times on this show, they're not going to tell us, are they?
No, my understanding of doglish is limited.
Yes. And
catlish is even worse.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'd imagine it works. I imagine this works with all of our animals. Horses, even when we get to the livestock animals as well. I mean, this is an issue, I would imagine, up and down.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the focus of many of these talks. It's like too often we don't see the dogs or the cats until they can't move. And so the focus of these was about, okay, let's do early recognition. Learn how to recognize these signs. Getting in, because they don't speak verbally, we have to look at them and use body language. What are they doing? If you come into our clinic and probably others, there's a little cat chart on the wall that says, how do you tell if your cat's in pain? Because a cat's never going to tell you. Right. And I am very unsuccessful at trotting out a cat to watch and see which leg is sore.
Well, frankly, it's hard to tell when a cat's happy either, from what I can tell.
Well, you're a dog person.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I am. So
we'll admit it. We'll let you have that.
Okay. I don't dislike cats. I'm just a dog person. That's all.
That's okay. We all have our choices.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and it boils down to actions. It's like, okay, you know, the cat used to jump on the counter. Now it doesn't. It's probably not because it's becoming a good kitty and realized the counter is off limits. Mm-hmm. It's that it hurts to get up there.
Right.
If you watch them when they go downstairs, do they just bum, 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 bum down the stairs, or do they take one at a time and go carefully down like I do?
Mm-hmm.
So it's about learning to recognize body language. One of the speakers was talking about a client they had that says, oh, my dog's not sore. And so they did a videotape of the dog moving. And then she found a videotape of the dog from a couple years earlier and goes, wow, my dog is really moving a lot different.
Okay.
So it's not about limp. We recognize that there's the leg they limp on, either front or back.
Mm-hmm.
It's about learning to recognize we aren't as playful as we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all say because we're getting old.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably because just like me, you know, we're getting stiff and arthritic, and, and play is not as much fun because it hurts. So that was a big portion of it, is learning to talk about, learning to recognize pain in terms of what they don't do. So they aren't going to say, Mark, my right hip hurts.
Right, yeah.
They're just going to not maybe circle that direction.
Right.
They're not going to bound up and down the stairs like they used to. We have to look at these things. And then the other thing was to realize the significance of pain. What do we lose? What are the consequences of pain in our pets? You know, obviously the first one is suffering to the animal. And, and our goal is to limit that as much as we can. Right. But if we take another step further and say, okay, what else are we losing? You know, for the dogs especially, you're losing your playmate. It's not as much fun to go out and catch the ball. We don't like to go for walks as much as we used to. So we talk about losing that connection. You know, the dog just sits on the floor anymore. It doesn't get up and interact with us. Well, maybe it's because it hurts too much to get up. Because it's not just legs that are sore, just like with us. It's neck and back. It's like myself, my neck and my back are what bug me the most on a day-to-day basis. And that's going to slow things down, like how fast you go up and downstairs, how quickly you get out of your chair. So watch your pets and look for similar type of things. And then... yeah, so it's their suffering and less interaction with the family and just changes of what they do. Those are what we need to look at and recognize early. And then, of course, we go through all the options. There are lots of options that we have out there for trying to manage pain in our pets. And I will say they all have their limitations. You know, at some point, all of them are going to fail. But hopefully that's a long ways down the road. And when plan A doesn't work, let's look at plan B. Let's look at plan C. There's lots of things that we have as options out there that we didn't have, say, 5, 10, 20 years ago.
I could see where it'd be difficult for somebody. I've gone through this now a couple times in life where the change is so gradual you don't notice. I mean, I think we say that about ourselves.
Exactly. Yes, you're right, Mark.
So I imagine it can be difficult for people. I mean, you said person looked back at the video for 2 years back.
Yeah.
Then it became noticeable.
Yeah.
But it probably isn't that noticeable, you know, if on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, that's the big challenge. Well, he's always been that way. Well, for at least the last 6 months. Well, it's been gradually getting worse.
Yes.
You know, but till you stop and think about it, and again, it's thinking about what don't we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we limp.
Yeah.
It's that we don't dash out the door. We maybe stand on the porch and bark at the mailman instead of run out to the end of the fence and bark at him. So it's little things like that. Then we have to get our detective hat out and figure out, okay, where?
Yeah.
Where and what do we end up doing to get the most benefit for this pet?
So what you mentioned, there's new pain management options out there.
So we've been using some stuff for a year or two now that is what it's called a monoclonal antibody. So this is a total different generation of controlling pain. So this works with the idea of breaking the signal that comes up your nerve. Okay, so your nerve is a bunch of electrical circuits from your foot where you just dropped the rock all the way up to your brain that says ouch all the way back down to make you move your foot. Okay, so if we can break that signal, then you still drop the rock on your foot, your toe's still going to swell up, but you don't know that it hurts. Okay, so that's this one particular treatment. So for example, if you have severe arthritis in your hips, we're not going to change that. But if we can let the pet not perceive that pain, then that's helpful. Now, opiates, so morphine, methadone, medications of that type do that. They block the transmission of pain, but they also have some pretty significant side effects.
Yeah, they do. I don't think I'd want to give that to my dog necessarily, unless it was a very extreme case.
Yes, extreme case is correct. So these monoclonal antibodies don't have that side effect of sedation and mental changes and all the things that we associate with that. So we perceive that as being much safer. Now, these do tend to lose their effectiveness over time. Mm-hmm. So we tend to try to not use these in young animals. Yeah. But if you have, you know, an older patient, if we get a couple years out of this medication, that mm-hmm. may be all that patient needs.
Yeah.
And so we have to stop and think. So if you have a one-year-old that did something to his leg,
right.
we're probably not going to use this.
Sure.
However, when your doggy's 15,
right.
becomes very applicable. Mm-hmm. So there's monoclonal antibodies. Excuse me. There's always lots of therapies. One they actually talked about on a couple different lectures, and we've hit this very, very a lot of different ways, is weight.
Right.
Okay. And obesity is epidemic in our pets as well as in our human population. Mm-hmm. And the significance about it is that fat tissue, adipose cells, release a number of chemicals that are inflammatory. Mm-hmm. And so that chronic inflammation makes your situations worse. So if you can lose weight, you decrease the amount of inflammatory things you're taking in, you also reduce the mechanical forces on the sore legs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen over the years a number of times where we get some weight off a pet and the owner comes in and says, mm-hmm. I have a new dog.
Yeah.
You know, we can go out, we can play, we're not limping. You know, the mechanical forces as well as all the inflammation from the fat cells. Mm-hmm. If we can limit that,
sure.
then that's great. And if we don't, then I probably don't have enough medication mm-hmm. in the whole clinic
to
make them better.
To do anything, yes.
Yeah. So they talked a lot about that, mm-hmm. you know, some physical therapy things. And so mm-hmm. there's lots of options. Now, a lot of them take a lot of work.
Yeah.
Just like when you go to physical therapy, mm-hmm. the more work you put into it, the better your results.
And I assume it's harder as you get older.
Yes, it is.
You know,
I can say that.
Because, I mean, I'm thinking about my little dog now, mm-hmm. my little puppy, closing on 6 months. And I don't think we worry, are we getting her enough food?
Yeah. Yes, we had that discussion. Yes. She's doing just fine.
Doing just fine, yes. And just for those who are familiar, the dog we have now is probably going to top out at 5 pounds, maybe. so we're talking about ounces here in our case.
You are talking about kibbles.
Kibble, but literally numbers
kibble.
Of kibble.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then you're being told for training purposes to have high-value treats.
Yeah.
What are high-value treats? Just what you think, right? High
M&Ms,
caloric.
Well, Oreos.
No, you don't do M&Ms and Oreos with a dog. No, but you know.
It's something they like.
It's something they like, and usually it's fairly high in caloric value.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so it's a, yeah. So I assume probably if your dog remains active, that can help with this problem.
Yes, for sure.
Going out on the walks and running around the yard and doing all those things.
A great term I learned, this was at one of the geriatric or old dog mm-hmm. lectures.
Yeah.
And the case discussion was like a 15-year-old lab that, you know, it could walk to the mailbox and back, mm-hmm. and that was a workout for the dog.
Right.
But the thing that they were using to try to kind of keep the dog's mind sharp mm-hmm. was, I love the term, called it a sniffari.
Sniffari. Oh, that makes sense.
So this is a safari mm-hmm. of sniffing.
Yes.
So you just get to go out in the yard mm-hmm. and sniff around. And if you watch dogs, mm-hmm. they love this.
Yes.
And the speaker went on and talked about that quite a bit. And I found it an interesting concept, but yet very, very, very down to earth. And if your dog is kind of stuck in the house, go out and get some things and sprinkle mm-hmm. them around the house where we can get some interesting smells.
Well, really, we are getting more and more now into keeping the brain sharp.
Yes,
and this relates to us as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about, we've got a couple little where you can spread a kind of little maze uh-huh. with bridges, and you can spread some food on it for your dog to work out how to get the
yes.
food. And that's mind development.
Yeah.
Along with the fact also it keeps them active and,
yeah.
and moving around some. So I imagine the smell thing, that's the same concept,
yep.
just a
same
little
concept.
Different.
Yeah.
At that point.
And if we stop and think about it, unfortunately, a lot of our work mm-hmm. is created by the fact that we've taken an animal, dog mm-hmm. or cat, and a lot of others, who is developmentally, evolutionarily, mm-hmm. outside, and they're always looking for food.
Yeah.
Or they're looking for a mate. So they're mm-hmm. constantly active. They're constantly interacting with their environment. And we bring them home and talk to them for an hour in the morning, maybe take them for a walk, put them back in the house, go to work, come back, talk to them for an hour in the evening. So you have 22 hours of the day where they're bored to death. As opposed to an animal who, in their natural situation, maybe they'd take a nap, but the rest of the time they'd be out looking. They'd be looking for something to eat, somebody to talk to, bark at, you know, whatever. And so a lot of what we do to keep their mind sharp is try to kind of bring back that constant interaction with your environment.
It's watching my puppy grow up. And our puppy, and she's been labeled thinker by some of the trainers involved here.
That makes sense to me, watching her.
Because she doesn't like just take food from a stranger or anything. If she hears stuff, she's looking around, taking in her environment. I could see where a Sniffari she would enjoy a lot.
Yeah.
Which she actually does. It's called our backyard. And so I could see where the importance of that and how that can relate not just to the mental health of the dog, but also if the physical health as they get older and slow down.
Yes.
And be able to do those things.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the things. Geriatrics was the other area I went to some, lectures in. Exercise, mental as well as physical was a big part of it. And again, early recognition, not waiting until the dog, you know, shows us signs that we clearly recognize as doggy Alzheimer's, or we call it cognitive dysfunction. And there's lots of variations of that.
Now, there are people out there I know who are saying, how do you tell?
So it's things like nighttime restlessness. Okay. So your dog used to sleep all night long unless the raccoons were outside.
Right. Okay. Yes, like that happened to our puppy this morning.
Yeah. So, but now instead of they sleep all day and they're up all night and they're maybe they're not barking and making noise, but they're pacing or they're laying next to your bed panting because they have hot flashes. Think of that just like people get hot flashes. I'm sure my patients get a similar thing. So they lose that day-night rhythm. They may stare off into space. I remember my old dog Molly would go out on the porch and bark because there was a car out there 10 years ago. You know, they may get stuck in a corner, literally. They walk into a corner and they can't get out. So these are things in the more severe cases that we recognize. So part of it is let's recognize this earlier. When we start seeing maybe they aren't as active with you in the family. Maybe that sleep cycle is getting a little messed up because there are things that we can do to kind of slow that, or at least we think we can in the dog world. A lot of it revolves around nutrition. And when somebody figures out the magic pill, then we'll have that to sell broadly.
Yeah.
But most of it at this point is nutrition and exercise.
So, you know, it is, I'm thinking back now to Bella. She would do a little staring out. You know, just looking. And sometimes I thought, well, she's looking in the backyard, et cetera. But I could see where maybe there were some signs of that. Of course, Bella had a couple knocks to her head in life as well, where she'd had concussion. You know, one time we think she actually did have a concussion. I've wondered if how much long-term impact that had on the dog.
Certainly, we know we can document cases in people where that's an issue.
It's you know, I'm still waiting for my cur puppy to see see the squirrels come across the fence and see see how this goes with the small with a really little dog.
Squirrel's bigger than the dog.
Almost. I think the squirrel is as smaller than the dog, but I'm not going to verify that for sure. But it is tough because it's differentiating between what might be a sign of a cognitive issue and just a dog being a dog is not necessarily easy.
No, it's not, Mark.
At that point, if a dog does finally have cognitive issue, in its aging, what can you do?
The main thing that we have, there are medications we can do.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion, they're not terribly effective, but they can offer us some help.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the thing that gives us the best benefit is There are some old dog diets, and they basically have a variety of supplements in them, you know, like essential fatty acids, choline, if I have the term correct, things like that, that when combined seem to help our dogs have a little bit better functioning brain.
Yeah.
And I've had a number of clients that have gone on that and said they could tell a difference in their dog after being on that for a while.
Yeah.
So, again, it's going to come down to, at this point, choosing the right diet that has supplements that help and exercise interaction. Interaction is going to be important.
8:50 in the morning, Mike Fossen with us from Alpine Veterinary. Thank you for being with us.
You're welcome, Mark. My pleasure.
Alpine Veterinary in Hood River. And again,
they're in stuff on the radio auction.
Radio auction next Saturday, March 14th, including if you need your dog neutered. It says right here, neuter surgery.
Yes, yes, we have that.
Plus vaccine and deworming.
Yeah.
So, and you can save money on it.
There you
go. My little puppy is going to be spayed here in about a week and a half.
Yes,
yes. And that's important to do, though.
Yep.
That's taken
very
care
important.
Of. Very important.
Yeah.
8:51 in the morning. We'll come back and continue on after this.
The second I see that Chick-fil-A text in the group chat, I'm throwing my shoes on and running out of the door.
Hey, I'm Layla.
And I'm Kaylin.
And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit is
how it feels like an easygoing morning.
The chicken adds the most flavor. It's juicy and seasoned.
The biscuit is just very light and airy and fluffy, just like a cloud.
I also love to put jelly on mine, so it's sweet and savory.
It's a good start to the day.
Mornings are a little bit brighter with the Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit and Simply Orange Juice, available on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
KIHR is your home for news and information every weekday morning. We start with Northwest Ag Today with Glenn Vaughan at 5:06, followed at 6:05 by a check of overnight national news on America in the Morning. Then at 7 in the morning, it's local and Northwest news and more with Mid-Columbia Mornings, followed by interviews with local newsmakers on Mid-Columbia Today at 8. Start your morning informed every weekday on 98.3 FM, 1340 AM, KIHR.
Mark your calendar. The Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction is Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage. Take advantage of savings on over $150,000 worth of local goods and services. Dining certificates, health and beauty, auto service, travel and entertainment, outdoor recreation, home improvement, and more. Increase your chances to win items by securing a bidder number now. Call 541-296-2211. Our on-air live radio auction, Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
As I mentioned earlier, we're 8 days away from the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Guild Mortgage, 8 o'clock Saturday, March 14th on this station, along with 93.5 KCFM, 103.9 The Hawk, and also on 927, 1029 KMSW. And 105. No, it's not on KMSW. I'm sorry. Forget that. It's not on KMSW. It's never been there. It's on 105.5, 96.9 KCGB. I don't know why I said that. It's not like I haven't been around here for a while. But you can get your list of items at GorgeRadio.com. What's going to be up for bid or instant auction items that you just hear and then you buy for a certain price that are available. But we've got plenty of stuff out there. Some of the bigger stuff from Brown Roofing, you got a $3,000 certificate, good towards any roof project or replacement. They'll be up for bid. From Care Smiles and Skin, two Dika Quiet Night anti-snore treatments. And they've got a lot of stuff here. A lot of services available. Also, two sedation for wisdom teeth removal. That's important. So those are available. Let's see. What else do we got here? What else can we talk about? Oh, Gabriel Orthodontics. They've got a $3,000 certificate towards new patient orthodontic treatment. You can pick up for less than $3,000, obviously, at the radio auction. Also, J.D. Smith's Jewelers, they've got a white gold with 1-carat weight baguette and round diamond hoop earrings valued at $3,000, available through the radio auction. And also a yellow gold ring with white mother of pearl, 3/100-carat weight diamond. I think I'm reading that right. I'm not an expert on this. Valued at $1,800. That'll be available for less at the auction. From a Reese Orthodontics, $3,000 certificate toward full braces or full Invisalign. Either way, again, you can get it for less. There's just all sorts of stuff here. I could go on and on, and I will go on and on during upcoming Mid-Columbia Today shows next week. But also, you can get a VIP number. This speeds up your bidding. You don't have to have one. But you see what happens if you call in, you don't have a VIP number, you got to give your name, your phone number. A person can only write so fast. If you have a bidder number, you say, I'm bidder number, whatever it is. And then your bid's placed, it's right in there. You have a head start on getting your bid up to the auctioneer. You can get that VIP number by calling 541-296-2211 before 5 o'clock next Friday, the 13th. 541-296-2211 and register for your VIP bidder number for the radio auction coming up on Saturday, March 14th at 8 in the morning. It is 8:56. We'll tell you what's coming up on Monday's show right after this.
I am Heidi Headland, the quality manager at Skyline. I'm able to participate in all the patient care processes that are important, like what prevents patient falls from happening, what prevents patient infections from happening. Those type of things happen very rarely here at Skyline, I am happy to say. Skyline's a great place to stay if your family member is sick or if you get sick, because quality is a foundational aspect of Skyline Health. I am Skyline.
3-year-old Reagan was treated at St. Jude.
Sparkly.
Now she can spend her days playing dress-up.
I look beautiful in this.
Instead of thinking about cancer. The team at St. Jude has helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate in the U.S. from 20% to more than 80%, and we won't stop. Let's help more kids just be kids. Learn more at stjude.org. Finding cures, saving children.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:57 in the morning on Monday, we're talking Mid-Columbia Center for Living in Port of the Dalles. Tuesday, Hood River County and Wasco County governments. Wednesday, Mid-Columbia Community Action and Hood River County Health Department. Thursday, Matt Warbritton, we rescheduled him. NRCS Oregon Snow Survey will join us on Thursday. Plus, we'll talk Skyline Hospital. I think we're going to talk about their big Cultivate Columbia event that is coming up on, actually, I don't know the date. I just shouldn't have gone out to that limb. And Friday, we talk Columbia Gorge Discovery Center. That's all coming up on the Mid-Columbia Today Show over the course of the next week. We should also tell you that the Underwood Community Center Skate Night is going to be on Sunday, 4 to 6 at the center on 951 Schoolhouse Road in Underwood. Bring your own gear. It's $3 a skater. 16 and under need an adult present. So that is coming up on Sunday up at the Underwood Community Center. Well, we're just about out of time for the week here. Actually, we are out of time, apparently. We're just going to move on. We've run out of things to say. I really have. I'm out of them for the weekend. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for being a part of our show. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media, Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.